time.
Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahut. I'm Sean Cantwell.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday to you. The Wings in action right now. Kind of like saying that. I enjoy saying that
the Wings are in action during our show.
Yeah. So I've been telling you, we've been needing to get a TV in studio so we can watch it, but no, you don't. Oh.
Well, if you're paying for cable, then by all means, go ahead and do it.
Says Mr. King, I steal everything. You find your way around it.
I haven't lately. Yeah. I lost my login for the one thing that I was... sharing, so I'm kind of screwed now on live sports of any sort at home.
You came correct with the Wings game yesterday. That was awesome.
Where there's a will, you know, yo-ho-ho and so on and so forth, that's just what we do.
So anyway, they are in Sweden right now taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and 4:34 in the second period, the Wings are up 2-0. Daniel Sprong on a penalty shot.
Ah, you just loved it. The Sprong acquisition has paid some dividends for this team, has it not?
Yes, it has. I am pleased. And just happened, 14:44 in the second period. Lucas Raymond with his 7th assist. Boy, he really likes playing in his home country, doesn't he?
He really does. You just love to see it. Needs something to...
Also, a note is Alex Lyon getting his first start as a Red Wing. Looking good. 13 saves so far. He's got a you know what going on. We're not gonna say it.
Yep. Don't you
jinx it now. So, lot of penalties. Oh, look, Tyler Bertuzzi was in the box in the first period for slashing.
Shocking.
How about that?
You never see that happen.
Max Domi in for slashing, roughing. of course, it must have been. Yeah, it was with Moritz Seider. He gets two for roughing.
Who saw that coming?
Everybody.
Certainly not me. That never happens.
Sure. So we'll have to see what's going on. That last game against Ottawa, down 4-0, come back, tied up. They lost in overtime, but still, what a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed they even got back down from that far down, really.
Yeah.
I can't even be mad about that.
There's a lot of teams that would just, you know, show their belly and then that's it. They're done. But no, they held on.
Not these Red Wings.
Nope.
It's different this year. It actually feels like that might even be true.
It is. I like to think that maybe they've taken a page or at least been inspired by what we've been seeing with the Detroit Lions. Because there is a different aura about Detroit sports right now.
No, absolutely there is. It just feels weird hearing you say that the Wings are taking their cues from the Lions.
Well, it's
given historically.
Yeah. Yeah. No, usually when they would lose by 7, it's like, oh, they take a cue from the Lions. But no.
Right.
But now they're ambitious. They're feisty. And both teams are ambitious. They're both feisty, and they're getting things done.
Absolutely, and we'll get into the Lions a little bit later on in the show too. Of course, we got picks to do and unsolicited advice, and we have Michigan stuff we have to talk about yet again. I know, shocking, that never happens. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and we have a couple Lions games coming up. Actually, two that are going to have been played by the next time we hit terrestrial airwaves.
Yeah,
as it is Thanksgiving week coming up. Of course, you're going to be playing the Bears on Sunday, and then on Thursday, the big one, the big Turkey Day game against the Green Bay Packers, a team that you've already beaten once this season that I honestly feel pretty good about your odds to do so again. And looking at the Bears, I'm not all that worried about that team either, if I'm going to be particularly honest with you.
No. It'd be huge upset if the Bears were able to pull out that win. I don't think they will.
I do not either. I mean, just when you look at what this team has dealt with this season, Justin Fields, I believe, will actually be back by the time these guys go. Like, Justin Fields is back, but I don't know what you're going to actually end up seeing in him. Like, he wasn't good at the start of the year. I mean, he was atrocious. But then he, right before he injured his thumb, he was starting to get his you-know-what together. Like, he had one game with 300 passing yards, and then the game right before he went out, he had close to 300 again. So it's kind of hard. Again, granted, you're looking at games against Denver and Washington, who are both, as the kids say, mid at best. And they're the worst two teams when it comes to pass defense in the NFL, too. So I'm not really sure what you're supposed to expect here. The problem is with the Lions, against bad teams, their pass defense has been exceptional. Against good quarterbacks, and particularly mobile quarterbacks, they haven't really been good. The results have been middling at best, for the most part. I mean, you managed to do a mighty fine job of containing Patrick Mahomes in week one, but then you let Geno Smith run all over you. You let Lamar Jackson do Lamar Jackson things. You let Justin Herbert actually put up a great deal of passing yards as well. So I do kind of worry a little bit that if Fields is back and if he looks anything like he did before the injury, that this is the kind of team that Aaron Glenn defenses seem to struggle against. So I'm a little bit concerned there. And they do have a really good running game too, surprisingly. Like, while yes, they lean on the QB a lot when it comes to the rushing game, they do have some pretty solid guys aside from, like, Khalil Herbert. He's good for about 272 yards. He's averaging over 5 yards a carry on the season. Dante Foreman has been certainly nothing to sneeze at. And Marshawn Johnson's had some good games as well. Herbert's back now after missing the last 5 games. So this is the healthiest we'll see this team's running game all season to this point. So I'm a bit concerned there, but your run defense is one of the better ones in the league. So I would imagine, while it's that you're pretty evenly matched there, honestly, I feel like Lions should have the advantage when it comes to your defense against their offense in most, you know, general situations here. Now, here's the other problem. Bears are really good at stopping the run. And you've been relying a lot on the run this season with certainly David Montgomery's been a beast, and Jahmyr Gibbs is starting to come into his own here. But now Montgomery, of course, back from his rib injury, and he's looking still pretty good, and Gibbs has really got it together well. It's been good, and the O-line has been really helping things a lot. They've been really good. It's like third best in the league per Pro Football Focus in blocking the run. So that in itself really would suggest good things here. The problem is the Bears' run defense, also really good. They've held 6 of the teams they've played this season below 3 yards a carry, which is really, really good. But they also, keep in mind, haven't faced a team with a good rushing attack since like week 4 this season, for what it's worth. They haven't faced a running game as good as Detroit's all year. So I tend to think that the Lions should get the better of them. I mean, the Chargers seemingly had a good run defense coming into that game and proved to be very fraudulent real quick. And also, I'm counting on a good revenge game from David Montgomery, former Chicago Bear. I very much imagine that he's going to come in, he's going to be looking for revenge, and he's going to get it.
Yep.
The one place where you do have a clear advantage here, by a long shot, the Bears' passing defense is absolute garbage. And crazy enough, the Bears will be the worst passing defense the Lions have faced all season. Like, Chicago just has not been good at stopping the pass game at all. Like, and the Lions, we've talked about, Jared Goff is still somehow like the number one ranked quarterback per Pro Football Focus, which seems weird. And I know we talk about a lot that the people still do not want to admit to having been wrong about this guy, but what's a guy got to do? He has the best completion percentage of his career. He's completing like over 68% of his passes. He's got the best QB rating in the league. highest of his career at least, and he's having more success than he has at any point in his career. Like, I don't know what this guy has to do to prove to people, but he's also got an O-line that's been better at protecting him than any other in the NFL. They've only allowed 16 sacks all season, which is like fourth best in the league. And the pass blocking grade is like third in the league. Again, Pro Football Focus is a very big fan of your passing game, your O-line, your everything, really. And everything there seems to suggest that you're going to have a field day on offense. And with and Goff, I would expect to just go and torch this thing. And we've seen certainly Jahmyr Gibbs a little bit as a receiver here and there, but I feel like this should be his week to really make his presence felt in the passing game. The linebackers for the Bears are good defending against the run. They're not good in coverage. You should be able to exploit that. Problem is that they're as healthy as they've been on defense. Overall, though, I like your odds. Certainly, I like your odds against Green Bay. You could be coming out of this week 9-2 if you play your cards right.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
That's exciting. That I am so looking forward to seeing and still holding steady towards the top of the NFC. When you look at your other teams that you're still competing against in that department, the Eagles. They have to play the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. That is not exactly a gimme of a game. Arguably could also be a preview of this year's Super Bowl. Hard to say, but they have a challenge this week, certainly. Next week, they play... Who are they playing next weekend? You have a very good chance of really finally gaining some ground on them, possibly tying them record-wise by the time all is said
Buffalo,
and done. They're playing Buffalo after this. And I imagine Buffalo, yeah, they're not the Buffalo of years past. I'll grant you that.
No, they've had kind of a rough season.
Yeah, Monday Night Football did not go well for them.
No.
But that said, they'll still, I feel like they'll still absolutely come to play against the Eagles. Like they'll play up to their level of competition. They should anyway. That's not exactly a gimme of a game, though it is one that Philly arguably should win. But I just like the thought that by the end of next weekend, you could be sitting at the very least tied for first in the NFC. We haven't seen this in like ever.
Ever, probably, yeah.
Like all of a sudden that home field advantage through the playoffs doesn't sound as far-fetched as it did at the start of the year or even a couple games into the year.
Right. Well, we also need one more thing, and that's Minnesota to still have a mediocre season. And they've got a pretty easy couple of games. They got Denver on Sunday and then on Monday Night Football on the 27th against the Bears. So they could be gaining some ground on the Lions.
The Bears, I fully expect, will be a win for Minnesota. Denver, I don't know. It's because they're playing in Denver, and Denver has been on fire the last couple weeks. They beat the Bills, they inexplicably beat the Chiefs, and they beat the Packers a few weeks before that. Don't ask me how it's even possible that they beat KC, but they did. Like, maybe we've been sleeping on this team at our own peril. I mean, the first 6 weeks of the season would indicate that not great, but They've been playing with a little bit more fire of late. I don't necessarily think that Minnesota with a backup QB in Denver is a losing proposition for the Broncos. Depends on what version of Josh Dobbs we get this week. Yeah, everyone's already writing kind of the book on him. He's gonna be great. Like, did you see him against Atlanta? Like, yeah, he threw for two touchdowns there. He only threw for one last week, and really, yeah, you've won both those games. Give you credit there, but how long does that really end up lasting for? Like, was that kind of a fluke week or two? I kind of think it was, but I guess we'll see going forward. Denver's gonna face more of a challenge to them than I think a lot of people are willing to give them credit for. Certainly more so than the Saints or the Falcons. The Falcons are garbage. Like, they've already gone to their backup QB because they've kind of figured out that, no, Desmond Ridder is not the future of that franchise. So I think Minnesota still comes out of that trailing the Lions by the time all is said and done. But we don't worry about that right now. What you got to do your own work, beat the two division opponents you have coming up, and that won't matter. Because they're a game behind you still. If you do what you need to do, then the rest ultimately takes care of itself. And it's really nice to be able to say that you're in the driver's seat. You control your own destiny for a change. And it's not a position we're very much used to with this team, but is one that I will absolutely take all day, every day. Here's Bring Me the Horizon at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Live at your local alternative Solid State Radio, it is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and joining us, as happens every so often, America's favorite LaPure Main Street manager, James Tiberius Ault. Hey, Jimothy, what's the good word?
Oh, busy weekend. Busy night, busy weekend. Lots going on right here downtown.
Oh, yeah? Like, I see you're wearing purple tonight, like there's some event going on.
Some symbolism going on with it.
That's right. I'm wearing my Real Men Wear Purple shirt. That I got from a small business in Seattle, Washington. Not a big box store that Adam is familiar with. Ladies' night tonight in downtown Lapeer, 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. It's a good opportunity to come on down, support small businesses, get started on your holiday shopping. We have 30 different businesses that are participating. Plus, we've got vendors with crafts and homemade goods. Set up all throughout the downtown, and there's all kinds of raffles, prizes, giveaways, lots of fun stuff going on. Again, 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight. You can get started at Gallery 194. The first 200 participants will get a free tote bag, compliments of cream. And if you bring a donated item from the needs list of LACADA, which is Lapeer Area Citizens Against Domestic Assault, you can get a couple free raffle tickets as well for some of the prizes they've got going on, because the event is designed to not only encourage shopping, but also to support LACADA and bring awareness to their mission as well. So good things going on tonight.
Good deal. You've done this quite a few years in a row now.
Yeah, this is actually, it's not the 10th year, but it's the 10th walk.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's considered a 10th anniversary or how that works.
Because you probably didn't do one during COVID years.
We took COVID year off, but this is the, I think it's the 8th year, but like I said, it's the 10th walk that we've done, because we've introduced the spring walks a few years ago.
All I remember was last year, the tote bags. The tote bags went fast. There were a lot of people angry.
They are already lining up down at the gallery.
There were many ambulances that had to be called. People had to be stretchered out because of these tote bags.
Yeah, full-scale riot in downtown Lapeer over tote bags.
Over tote bags. Over reusable, yep, eco-friendly tote bags. Exactly.
See, Jim's just inciting a riot in downtown Lapeer, man. Like,
I mean, I was just told that people downtown is a good thing. It didn't say in what capacity.
I guess that's fair.
There go the National Guard. Oh, more people downtown. All right.
Yeah, my downtown development training didn't cover that part.
I smell tear gas. Jim's doing a great job out there. And then you're busy tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow night is Laugh Magic Live at the Pix Theater. So this is actually the 9th year for Laugh Magic, featuring Jonathan LaChance and myself at the Pix Theater. Tickets are still available, although they are getting more and more scarce.
Low ticket warning.
Yeah, tickets start at $17. Showtime is 7:30 p.m. And it's fun, right? It's not a kids' magic show, meaning that it's a magic show that all ages, including kids, but also adults, will enjoy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, we get a little blue.
No, it is. It
magic
is.
After dark.
It's family friendly, but all ages will enjoy it. So it's good for, like, a date night or a family night out. John's done Penn & Teller Fool Us. He's done the CW's Masters of Illusions. He's done Good Morning America. Essentially all the shows that I turned down. John is done. And then I will be there in support. I'm going to do some close-up style magic. Which would be a lot of fun. Also, we're actually going to have a camera, and it's going to be projected on the big screen, so you can see it literally right up close, probably 1,000 times larger than what it would be if you were actually sitting there with me. So if I mess anything up, it'll be very apparent.
So if he doesn't wear deodorant, he has big old bologna stains, you'll see it in high definition.
That's right. That's right.
If a trick goes wrong, we're all going to know it.
Yep. Yeah. John might risk his life, but I am risking my career.
There you go.
This is very true. Well, it should be a good time all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, lots of great things happening. Then of course, it's always just a good time to come on down, get some dinner, do some shopping, explore all the great things we have.
Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of both food and shopping options here in lovely downtown Lapeer.
That's right.
And that's truly the case year round. You said there were prizes and things being given away for the ladies' night thing. Who's all kicked into this?
Who hasn't?
You tell me. I don't know.
Apparently we haven't.
Yeah. Besides you. Yeah. No. So Doghouse has contributed a nice kind of basket full of different coffee items.
Very cool.
Excadia's put in a gift card. One of the 200 tote bags has a $100 gift card inside of it. There are kind of prize baskets and prize baskets that have been put together that feature multiple items from some of the different businesses down here, from different restaurants, gift cards. There is a raffle for a Christmas tree, brand new Christmas tree that's all lit up, $130 value, $5 raffle tickets. So if you need a tree, great. Yeah.
Abby's going to go try and get the thing and stick it here in studio because that's really what we need.
There, we'll all have another Christmas tree promotion to talk about next week for Winterfest.
Oh.
But I need to get through ladies' night first.
Right. So. God, there's a whole lot of things going on right now. I forgot we were already at Winterfest time, too.
Jim,
right.
Slow down with all the Lapeer stuff. We can't handle all this information.
It's all these holidays that we made up so we could have events down here.
Right? I feel like we have more events than we have time to cram them all in. Like, every time I turn around, there's another event in downtown Lapeer.
All right, Jim, talk to us about Groundhog Day.
We should do a Groundhog Day event. Like 365 days a year, and base it off of the movie.
There you go.
Hurry up, bring out the groundhog. We're sweating our ass off out here.
Like every day, it's the same.
Yeah. This could work.
Yeah.
I feel like there's definitely something to be done with this.
We're going to need a groundhog. Somebody find me a groundhog.
It's Lapeer. We'll just get a cat.
We'll get some other woodland creature that no one will be able to tell the difference anyway. It'll be fine.
There you go.
No, that's not a woodchuck. That's a woodchuck. That's not a groundhog. I know that one's good in the stew and one's not.
Do I have to apologize to the entire city of Lapeer now or just the...
Woodchucks.
Just woodchucks.
Just woodchucks.
Just woodchucks. I was going to say I can get a chupacabra, but...
Well, you have one of those already, I guess.
I do.
So.
I do. I could bring it down.
Yeah,
bring Columbiaville Chupacabra.
It's a Chupacabra day. It's six more weeks of summer, I think. I don't know what it said. It bit me. I had to hit it with a shovel.
So, should we do this? Jim and Kim kind of storming in here with some purpose earlier. He is not happy with our colleague across the desk from me. Not even really with him so much, but...
Go ahead. I am waiting for Adam to publicly denounce his employer. So
it's not a good look for this place. I will say that.
Yeah. So one of the most amazing places anywhere is Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum. It's located in Farmington Hills. It has been there for decades. It's an institution that brings people from all over the world. And so there are vintage arcades, and then there is Marvin's, where it is really like a vintage arcade, and that they have machines from the early 1900s, original machines, not reproductions. They've got the pinball, they've got the classic arcade stuff too. But then like the penny, slideshows and the animatronics, and then all the artwork and vintage posters and everything that goes with it. They have the Cardiff Giant that P.T. Barnum used to parade around, you know, claiming that they dug up a real giant. They've got it at Marvin's. They have the suit and the shoes of the tallest man that has ever lived. Like, I mean, it's literally, it's an arcade, it's in a museum, it's just an amazing experience. Tony Hawk is a regular there. David Copperfield is a regular there. You know, like, these celebrities from all over the world, when they're in Michigan, in the area, they go to Marvin's, and they hang out, and they play games, and they act like kids. It's just great. And there is a major big box retail store based out of Michigan that Mr. Hairhawk happens to work for, so I am blaming him, who wants to buy the strip mall and tear down Marvin's and open a store. And, you know, I think, and a lot of other people, like, currently there's an online petition that is well over 20,000 signatures to save Marvin's. You know, and the argument is you could move it, except when it comes to those kinds of things, you really can't move those without potentially doing a lot of damage.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that's easier said than done. So, you know, if the commission goes through with it and plans it, I think it's a shame. It's a shame. You know, it's a community that has an attraction that brings people from all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Versus a big box store that almost every community already has.
Well, weren't you saying that there's a, and I don't know the map real well, that there's another one of those stores like 3 miles
three
away?
3 miles away. Yeah.
It's, they're starting to go more of a, I know I'm being real cryptic of what store it is, but they're going to a different kind of store where it's just groceries.
Yeah.
No hard lines, no shoes, no clothes, no just grocery.
Right. I mean, right. We won't say the store, but their headquarters is in Grand Rapids. They got their start in Greenville. Adam works for them.
You're just really trying to get this man in trouble on this show today as well.
Yeah, rhymes with fire.
Adam's taking fire towards him? Launching fire at him? Good for you. Yeah.
No, I plan on laying down in front of the steamroller, Jim.
That's our Adam, always going the extra mile for you know, for the community.
There's more information. The Detroit Free Press, I think, has some articles out there, MLive. And then, of course, you can just go to Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum, and they've got all kinds of information as well.
Exactly. Jim, thank you for your time. We got to hit a break. It is happy hour. Stick around. It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And it is once again time for our favorite bit of the week, Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept. I think we give better advice than the people who actually get paid to do this for a living. So let's dive right into it, shall we? We have a few Turkey Day themed ones since this is our last FM show before Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Let's dive right into it, shall we?
Yep.
Dear somebody who cares, I'm a Thanksgiving traditionalist. I like turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, etc. We usually eat with my extended family. We can't host this year because our kitchen is being remodeled. This year, the regular hosts are traveling, and some nice family members have offered to host for the first time, except they're going to make a roast. I get it. They like roast. They're hosting. That's fine. Except I don't want to go then. I want to go to a restaurant that I know does a traditional dinner. My husband has, probably wisely, left it up to me. As long as there's football on the TV, he'd likely eat roast roadkill and not care. The family members I've run this by have been varying degrees of upset on a scale from slightly annoyed to, OMG, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. It's Thanksgiving, and I want my turkey and stuffing and potatoes smothering gravy with cranberry sauce. It's not just about dinner. It's about that dinner. And really, is it so much to ask that one day out of 365, we just have the turkey, etc.? We can have roast any of the other 364 days, and I will eat it happily. Should I stick to my guns or give in and have a roast with the family?
Yeah, I mean, you're not being an a-hole. You're not saying, okay, no, I insist that you change your plans for me. I'm not into what you're doing. I'm going to politely peace out. I'm going to go over here and do that. Enjoy your roast. There's something to be said about tradition, or just let's just say it's not Thanksgiving. Let's just say they're having some sort of dish that you don't want. Then don't go. Don't try to change what they're doing. Just don't go. I think they're handling it quite well.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I don't particularly get it. Turkey's overrated. Fight me on this. I don't care.
I'm not a huge fan of turkey.
There's a reason that people typically only eat, unless you're doing like, you know, a turkey, you know, a deli sandwich of some sort.
Sure.
There's a reason people only eat it like once out of the 365 days a year, because it ain't that good.
Right. But I like turkey. I'm okay with it. It's just, it's a lot to prepare. It's huge. It's too much. There's too much turkey.
It really is. And,
but I mean, once a year, if that's what you want as a tradition, because it's your holiday too, go for it. You know, let them go have their roast. You go off and do your turkey. Or what you do is you bring a turkey with you. They can have the roast, and you just mow down on this turkey. Don't even carve it. Just grab it and bite into it right in front of everybody. This is good. How's your stupid roast?
I mean, also on that, like, I guess, where's your priority for seeing the family? Like, how badly do you really want to see them? Like, if they're the priority, you know, suck it up. You can have turkey another day. Like, is the turkey part of it that important to you? I quite frankly think we should get rid of the whole traditional turkey dinner anyway. Like,
a lot of people
have. Why not Thanksgiving lasagna? Thanksgiving, you know, steak. Christmas steak. You know, I'm all on board with this. Like, why do we have to keep to the traditional food just because it's what we always do when no one really likes it that much, except this one weirdo apparently who wrote into us?
No, there's a lot of people who like turkey. Trust me, at the store I work at, I see turkeys just flying out of here. No pun intended.
I know, but like, again, you don't sell that much turkey or anywhere near that much turkey the rest of the year.
No, not even close. Well, I mean. People still do, there's a lot of people that do turkey on Christmas, but I don't know, a lot of people have kind of strayed away from that on Christmas. A lot of times they'll do ham, I've seen a lot of taco bars pop up.
Can we just normalize the holiday taco bar? That's all I'm calling for.
For your holiday, you can do whatever you want. If you want a Thanksgiving Captain Crunch, go right on ahead.
Oh, we will. We are actually legitimately talking about at some point when we're doing the hosting for holidays and things, doing Christmas steak.
Yeah,
like that's going to be a thing.
Go right on ahead. That sounds delicious.
And who doesn't love a good taco?
Well, yeah, your side of the family, don't they do like the kielbasa and sauerkraut?
They do kielbasa and sauerkraut because they're a bunch of weirdos.
That sounds delicious.
Like my side of the family, like they're the ones who are still doing the cooking and whatnot, are very Polish. So the kielbasa and sauerkraut get inserted into every holiday.
Right.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But they also do taco bar and mostaccioli just for the hell of it.
That sounds great. You make your holiday whatever you want. That being said, if the writer wants that traditional turkey with all the fixings, then they should have it. They should absolutely have it.
Sure. I guess you're just going to have to choose, like, do you want to actually see your family that day, or are you so obsessed with the idea of Thanksgiving dinner being turkey that you just will not?
Is it one of those situations where on the major holidays, that's the only time you see your family? Then maybe you got some issue. But is it one of those things where you're going to see them again on Christmas? You're probably going to have a 4th of July picnic with them. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Don't worry about it. You celebrate you're letting them celebrate their holiday the way they want to. It doesn't sound like the writer is saying, you absolutely cannot do a roast. You're going to do a turkey because it doesn't sound like that. It just sounds like, I'm going to go off and do my thing. You do your thing. You do you.
Which I guess there's nothing wrong with that in theory, certainly.
Right.
It's just if the family is going to give you a hard time about, like, you're not going to come and hang out with us just because we don't want to do turkey, like, then that's, you're going to have to deal with that. You'll have to own that in some capacity. If that, you do what you want, but if you're just going to have to probably deal with that, those consequences at some point.
Sidebar, why did people stop eating goose? But you read like a Dickens novel, they're always eating goose and stuff like that. Nobody, I don't even know if you could buy geese.
I don't know, which is really unfortunate because geese are evil.
Geese are evil, which that's why I want to bite into one.
But I also feel like geese aren't particularly a large bird, though. Like,
they're huge.
Are they? Like, are they like big enough that you could like see feeding a family with one?
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Back in, you know, Dickensian, you know, London, like
when they had eight kids,
where you had. Yeah, well, you had eight kids, and everyone basically gets a tiny little piece of meat and calls it good. Sure,
God blesses everyone. oh, he's died. Give me his plate. God bless us.
I don't know why.
Geese are huge. I know because I've been chased by a couple. They're big. Big sons of big things. big birds. Big birds.
They are indeed big birds.
Yeah, so I just wonder why that fell out of favor. Because I don't even think we sell any at the store. We sell duck. We sell chicken, of course. Turkey. But no goose.
Yeah, that is kind of odd, isn't it? Maybe it's one of those things that he's figured out that that those other birds taste better.
Maybe.
I mean, let's be honest. We're talking about England. They're not exactly renowned for their cuisine.
They smother it in beans anyway.
So realistically, they probably prefer, I don't know how bad goose is, but apparently it's worse enough that we've decided that turkey's better. Which ain't saying much because turkey ain't good.
Yeah, the First Continental Congress, they're like devising the Bill of Rights and everything else. It was like, what do you guys all think about the whole goose thing that we left over in England? Leave it there. That's nasty. Gamey bird. No, we're not doing that again. I'd rather eat a duck.
and so the tradition began.
Yeah. What's that turkey look like? That's been running around places. Let's find out what that tastes like.
Can't be any worse.
It's all right. It's okay. I had it. But you know what you got to do is you got to cram a bunch of bread up its rear. Then it is amazing. How bored was that guy at the party?
I don't even want to know.
He starts cooking a turkey. He's like, you know what? Just because I hate my parents, let's do this.
Right.
Let's just cram a bunch of bread.
Yep. And we'll leave it there. Let's get into another one, shall we?
Yep.
Dear ho, not them, anybody but them. How do I stop being the default hostess? My spouse and I live a 10-plus hour drive from each of our families. It's now the third year in a row that at least one side has invited themselves over for a holiday. This Thanksgiving, everyone's coming, all without me extending an invite. My spouse doesn't see a problem because we like spending time with his family and because he says, you're supposed to spend the holidays with your family. I think my family knows if I don't host, they won't see me. But the house prep, the extra groceries, not just for the holiday meal, but we have to feed everyone else breakfast and lunch for a couple days, too. The airport shuttling, it's a lot. How do I get my house back and set boundaries?
Well, it's very simple. You have to host it one more time, but you just screw it up.
Burn everything.
You got a frozen turkey.
It's still frozen when you serve it.
Throw in the oven frozen. Don't clean the house. Forget to pay the cable bill. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, we'd watch a football game, but... Oh, yeah. How about we put in Titanic for the 10 millionth time?
Yeah, it's not that hard to get rid of uninvited guests in that capacity.
And you know what, folks? I love your family coming over, but I have stopped drinking. And if you could not drink in my house, that would be really helpful with my recovery.
That would certainly make sure that I never show up to your house again.
And and we have converted to this new religion. And if you can all get naked, I know it sounds a little weird, but trust me, it's all going to save your souls. Everybody get naked, and we're going to dance around this fire pit.
Yeah, that'll make sure that not only are you never going to have to deal with your family again.
Wait,
but
now you don't want to come over for Christmas? Oh man,
so disappointed by this.
I see your point of it, but you know I appreciate you letting me know. Yeah, bye bye. See you around.
That's definitely one way to do it.
Yep.
But for real, how do you get your house back and set boundaries? By setting boundaries. Like, tell them, no, we're not hosting this year. Yep. Period, full stop. Like, we'd love to get together with you some other time, but we're not hosting. We're not doing it. Like, just don't.
Three words: fake an illness.
I mean, COVID gave everyone the perfect excuse to do it.
Yeah.
It's that easy now.
Yeah, I mean,
got the Rona. You probably shouldn't come over. I'll be quarantined for at least the entirety of Thanksgiving week.
I just contracted the first ever known gonorrhea syphilis known to man, and you don't want any of this.
You don't want any part of this. I would stay away. Yeah, stay far away. At least 10 hours away.
I'm vomiting out of four holes in my body, and you don't want to know which four those are.
Oh, Jesus.
It's bad. It's bad.
You just don't. You don't want to deal with it. Just
yeah.
But no, for real. Just tell these people.
Just tell them you don't want them to come over.
For real. Like, you don't have to be the default host if you don't want to be. Like, set those boundaries. Like, look. It's a lot to undertake. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of prep. It's a lot of money. We don't really have all these things, and then we got to feed you for the week that you're here. It's like, we just can't. We can't do it. We don't want to do it. We'll come and see it some other time. I mean, unless apparently her family, in which case, no, you're not going to see me ever again. Just, you know, that.
Oh, it sounds like that load of a family would probably be like, fine, we're going to have it at our place, and we're not going to invite you.
Fine, you sure showed me that'll learn me.
Well, or you start telling them, like, okay, we're gonna see you all at Thanksgiving. I have a list of everything that everybody needs to bring and that you are in charge of, and come on, I can't wait to see you. And conveniently leave yourself with nothing to do.
Right. Well, the problem is you also then run into the members of the family that want to start taking charge of the Thanksgiving dinner, like, who aren't good at it, like the people that under no circumstances would ever be asked to participate.
I'm gonna make the stuffing. Just give me a whole lot of raisins.
Yeah, you are not allowed in my kitchen ever. we are not doing that.
But to get to the bathroom, I gotta go through the kitchen. Well, you better find a bush outside. You're not coming in here.
You are absolutely, like, we're taking a restraining order on behalf of our kitchen on you.
Why don't you put mayonnaise in ambrosia salad? You're not coming around here anymore.
You're just not welcome. I'm sorry. I'm filing a restraining order between you and any kitchen utensil within a 500-yard radius.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you just got to do that. Like, sorry that it has to be this way, but I guess it just does. That's all there is to it. No, just tell them they're not coming over. We're not hosting. Like, if you want to meet up with us whenever else, some other time, okay, great. If they continue to press the issue, that's when you just board up all the windows and act like you're not home.
Ding dong, they're here. Come on, I flew all the way from Alabama for this.
Yeah, we didn't tell you to do that. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, with your banjo on your knee, get out of here.
Hope this helps. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And it is about that time of the year again, of course. Thanksgiving is upon us on Thursday, which around here is basically was traditionally a time to sit around and watch the Lions lose, except this year they're actually doing good. But it's also very much a holiday that is very food-centric. So I've got something over here for you, Adam.
Oh, do tell. Oh!
Thanksgiving food power rankings.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Normally he dreads when I cue up that music because it means he has to guess who's good in football this week. No, today I have the definitive Thanksgiving food power rankings.
Oh, this is going to be easy.
We'll see just how easy it is. So top 17 answers are on the board, Adam. Let's see if you could do this.
Number one, grilled cheese sandwiches.
No, surprisingly, not on the list.
Okay, it's Thanksgiving. We complained about turkey, but if turkey's not number one, this list is trash.
Turkey is not number one. Turkey actually comes in number nine.
Number nine? All the way down to number nine, huh?
It's not even the second or third, or the first or second highest meat on the list.
Meat. Oh, he gave me a hint right there.
Yes, he did. All
right, well, I guess let's go ham.
Ham comes in at number four. And it's also still not the highest ranked meat on this list.
Jeez. Somebody making hot dog?
Right?
What was it? We got the pork. We got chicken. Would they do chicken on Thanksgiving?
Fried chicken comes in at number three. And honestly, I am here for this. More Thanksgiving dinner should include fried chicken.
Listen, I love fried chicken. But, I mean, on Thanksgiving, I don't know. I mean, I guess I wouldn't turn my nose up at it because it's fried chicken. It's one of my favorite dishes to make. But I don't know, man. I'm not seeing it. How about, let's move away from the meats for just a second. How about cheesy potatoes?
Cheesy potatoes. Cheesy potatoes do not make the list.
That must be a Midwestern thing only because
I think it is.
We sell so much the diced potatoes around that time, four cheesy potatoes. We ran out, and I suggested the potatoes O'Brien. It's diced, but it comes with onions and peppers. And it was like, oh, I don't know. All right, I'll try it. Then they came back after Thanksgiving and says it was a hit. It was like a Western omelet to people. They loved it.
Not a terrible idea. Like, it's not a bad way to go. And honestly, I prefer it to the potatoes that did make this list.
Yeah. Oh, mashed potatoes?
Traditional mashed potatoes. Like, look.
You can have mashed potatoes anytime. Yeah,
you can have mashed potatoes anytime you want. And honestly, mashed potatoes are, I mean, there's not necessarily a bad way to make potatoes, but mashed potatoes are close to the bottom of my list.
We've had this discussion. There's something comfort food about potatoes in general. My favorite is fried potatoes.
Well, yes. Yeah,
but, I mean, mashed potatoes, if they're like a little bit of a garlic, a little bit, you know, some chive, you know, I really like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I mean, they'll do as long as you're doing the real ones and not just the powdered stuff from the box. Like you people, I don't understand. Like why do you even cook at that point? Why have someone else go and make your food for you? Like, what are you even doing? But truth be told, like, there are so many better ways to make a potato. Give me baked potatoes for the holidays.
Baked potatoes, those are the bomb. Yeah.
Arguably the best way to do potato.
Sure, you twice baked potatoes, absolutely.
Who doesn't love that?
Well, nobody. I mean, only communists. Communists don't like baked potatoes.
Right. Mashed potatoes, by the way, come in at number 11 on the list. 11. So you're stalling. Let's
about relish tray. I mean, could that be all encompassing?
It could be, probably, but it's not on this list.
Well, fine. I'm swinging for the fences. Stuffing.
You're not going to believe this, Adam. What? Stuffing comes in dead last on this list, and I don't understand these people.
What kind of people?
These are the people who probably had stuffing with raisins in it as a kid, so I understand why you don't like stuffing.
Yeah.
If you've had any other kind of stuffing, you know how wrong that is.
Yeah, you put raisins in stuffing, I don't care how old you are, I will beat you to a pulp.
Absolutely.
It almost happened. I dated a woman who we went to her granddad's house, and I love stuffing, and he had raisins and stuffing, and I nearly punched this old.
And I feel like you probably would have entirely been justified if you would have punched him, because like who hurt you? Who hurt you that you're putting raisins in your stuffing? I truly do not understand what kind of torture you had to go through as a child to think that's a good idea.
Fruit does not blend. Cranberries, too. Don't try to
Don't put cranberries in stuffing either, no.
Oh, how about cranberry sauce?
Cranberry sauce comes in at number 15.
And garbage. Honestly, stuff is garbage.
Thank you. I'm glad I don't understand the people who particularly like the stuff that literally comes out of the can and retains the shape of the can.
Yeah. And then they use a lid to cut it with.
Right. You people, disgusting. I understand least of all.
The whole berry, you people aren't off the hook either. It's terrible. I've seen people insist upon it. And I know people, like my dad would insist on having cranberry sauce, and nobody would ever eat it. We'd throw it away. It was a centerpiece.
It's just there to, because we just want to have this like can-shaped blob sitting in the middle of the table that no one is ever going to touch.
Exactly. It's horrible.
So you're missing quite a few yet.
I'm missing a lot, but I'm going over our traditional Thanksgiving, and these people apparently are. It's probably out in California. How about avocado bread? Is avocado number one?
No, actually, it is not.
How about green bean casserole?
You know what? I'm going to give you this one. Green beans are at number 12 on the list. Not in casserole form. Green bean casserole is terrible.
Just green beans?
Yes. Well, just green beans.
God, Mary Joseph. How about corn? Just simple.
Corn comes in number 13. Corn comes in below green beans, and that offends me personally.
My God, what's wrong with people? All right.
Who doesn't love a good, some corn grilled,
I love corn, but corn you can get any other time.
It should at least rank higher than green beans. Also, I'm just going to give this one to you. Greens, just in general, come in at 10. Kale, collard, spinach, whatever.
Okay. I was going to joke that spinach was on there, but... Yeah.
Well, it was.
So, yeah, apparently.
Somehow. Wow. I don't understand these people.
Our list is derived from not hurting an animal.
Well, no, there was like three meats on the list. I mean, that's not entirely fair.
How about goose?
No, goose is not on the list. I think you covered all the meat, my man. All
right.
Start thinking sides and particularly desserts.
Oh, pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie comes in at number 14. Quite frankly, I think that's too low. Pumpkin pie is amazing.
Pumpkin pie, when do you eat pumpkin pie? Thanksgiving, Christmas, and that's it.
Pretty much when Woody brings it into the studio, that's when I eat it.
Oh, God, he is good.
Yes, he is. Pie. There's three other different kinds of pie on the list. And one
cherry, apple.
Apple is one of them. Apple is number six.
Cherry's not?
Cherry's not.
Dorothy's favorite, sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie comes in at number seven.
There's a lot of people who swear they can tell the difference between sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie. Those people are liars.
I can't tell the difference.
My favorite pie of all time, pecan pie.
Number eight.
Pecan pie for those in the Midwest.
Yeah, you'll never be able to pronounce that one right. Like, someone's going to call you however you pronounce it. It doesn't really matter.
I don't care. Pumpkin pie
is better than all of those. Fight me.
Pumpkin pie is the bomb. It is really, but my favorite, and it was I was in my 20s when I discovered pecan pie, and I love that stuff. Sugary is all get out. If you have any cavities or any kind of sensitivity in your teeth, you will find it on that day.
No, you absolutely will.
Yeah.
So you're missing number 1, 2, 5, and 16.
Number one, I just went through all of everything on my Thanksgiving table, and I didn't hit number one?
You didn't hit number one.
Wow.
You said the words, but in a different food. In one of the desserts.
Cherry?
No. One of the four desserts that was on the list.
Apple?
No.
Pumpkin?
No.
Potato?
Sweet potatoes are number one.
Sweet potatoes. Get out of here. Sweet potatoes are disgusting.
Says the guy who just said that sweet potato pie is the bomb.
No, I said pecan pie is the bomb. Sweet potato pie, I can't tell the difference between that and pumpkin pie. Sweet potatoes, and you people are like, no, what you got to do is you got to drizzle some marshmallow on there. No, get out of here with that.
No, none of that.
You people are psychotic.
I don't need the yams in my life. I just don't.
No, yams, sweet potatoes, and by the way, they are the same thing.
They are the same thing. Yeah, I don't need it. Like,
jeez, I'm trying to think of like local delicacies in the United States. My goodness.
So, like I said, we're now just talking like sides at this point.
Oh, yeah. How about pasta? Any pasta?
There should be pasta on here, but, well, no, technically there is. You know, mac and cheese is a pasta.
Mac and cheese is
number two on the list.
I've never
been to a Thanksgiving that had mac and cheese. I also, like... Maybe it's because the whole, you know, the Kraft mac and cheese thing, but I, for the longest time, was not willing to accept mac and cheese as a grown-up food. And I apparently was wrong for this.
I like Stouffer's, the big pan of mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Cut that up in some cubed-up ham. Oh, that's some good stuff right there. How about carrots?
Carrots are, thankfully, not on the list.
And now you got something against carrots now?
Yeah. They're not...
Carrots are awesome.
Carrots are just mad. They're just there.
Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs are not on the list. Okay, so one of these is a vegetable, and the other you're thinking way too hard about. Actually, we're kind of running out of time in this segment.
These guys are idiots. How about potato chips?
No. So squash comes in at 16.
Oh, which, okay, yeah, another root vegetable, sure.
And
okay.
Dinner rolls at number 5.
Okay, I guess that makes sense, but really?
I mean, dinner rolls are always good, but dinner rolls are also, quite frankly, a vessel for whatever sauce you happen to have handy. It's not the roll itself is not what you're here for. It's what are you dipping the rolls in?
Yeah, somebody's like, "What would you like with the rolls?" Oh, just dries. Like, you keep an eye on that guy all night long.
Yeah, that's the one you have to worry about. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. That time of the week again. It's Friday. It's almost the end of the show, and it is time for the picks. And I am looking to maintain my streak here because last week I come away with the win over Adam and Drew. Jim's going to say, oh, that's only because I wasn't here.
I mean, it's true.
I've got three wins and a tie on the season. Adam has three wins. Jim has 2 wins and a tie with me. And the massage girls across the hall have more wins this season than Drew Duffney does. We'll see if he can fix that this week. So this is not the most exciting slate of games, to be honest with you. There's a lot of these that are projected to be just blowout games. So we tried to find the most interesting ones we could, and we'll start with 2-6-3 teams going at it in the AFC North, the Steelers and the Browns. Deshaun Watson, as mentioned, is done. Is he done for the year? I believe he's done for the year.
Yep.
He's certainly not playing this week. Dorian Thompson-Robinson getting the start for Cleveland, a fifth-round pick out of UCLA. You'll remember his debut back in the beginning of October. He threw 3 picks, lost to Baltimore 28-3. But yet, despite that, Cleveland is favored by 1.5. We start with Lapeer Main Street manager Jim Ault on the pick and at.
Yeah, so I know Cleveland's favored, but Pittsburgh is going to walk away with this one, especially with Watson being done for the season. So, yeah, give me Pittsburgh.
Adam.
Yeah, just to be different, keep things interesting, I'm going to go with the Browns. What can Brown do for you? They can win this game.
We'll see about that. Drew.
I'm with Adam on this one. Browns to the Super Bowl.
All right. I also have no faith in the new QB in Cleveland. Like, if that last game was any indication, Cleveland's not going to win this one, much less keep it close. Give me the Steelers. Up next, the Chargers. Coming off a shootout loss to the Lions last week, they're headed to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field to take on the Packers. They are favored by 3 in this one, and if you watched that offense last week, it's not particularly hard to see why. We'll start with Adam on the pick.
Yeah, I don't want the Packers to win. I want all of the NFC North teams, with the exception of the Lions, just to go winless throughout the rest of the season. I don't think that's much to ask.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, give me Chargers.
Drew.
Yeah. Give me the Packers.
Yeah, what he said.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
No, not what he said. He said I want the Packers.
You're out of your mind. Jim.
Give me Chargers. Give me the points.
I'll take Chargers and the points as well. Up next, this is an odd one. Seattle is coming into this game 6-3 against a Rams team that's 3-6. Yet they are only favored by 1 in L.A. Stafford is expected to be back this week from his latest injury, keyword being expected to be back. L.A. just hasn't looked that good other than really since week 1. And yet they're only a 1-point dog here somehow. We'll start with Drew on the pick.
You know what? I haven't gone with Stafford all season long, but I feel like this is going to be his week.
Jimothy.
Nope. I think Geno Smith has been playing some good football the last couple weeks. Give me Seattle.
Adam.
Got to go with Matt Stafford and the stupid Rams.
I can't believe he actually beat me to it this week. That said, I'm not taking Stafford. Dude's thrown about as many picks as he has interceptions, assuming that he does even end up being able to play this week. Give me the Seahawks all day on this one. Up next, this is one that we talked about earlier in the show today because it does have some potential effects on the NFC North race. Your Detroit Football Lions, the Minnesota Vikings heading to Denver to take on the Broncos, who came off a surprising victory last week against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, well, we talked about that. Buffalo Bills, it's been a bad season for them, relatively speaking.
Oh, certainly. I don't think anyone would really dispute this at this point. But you're still playing in Denver, and is Minnesota favored in this thing?
Yeah, no.
Denver is a 2.5-point favorite.
Yep.
So we'll start with Drew Duffney on the pick.
Yeah, give me the Vikings for sure. There's going to be pillaging and plundering all weekend.
Jimothy.
They're going to be eating horse meat.
You know, as much as I would love to see Denver win this one, I think Minnesota is going to take it.
Adam.
Oh, it's going to be all Broncos.
Yeah, the Josh Dobbs, you know, it's a feel-good story and all, but I feel like he's bound to come back down to, you know, relatively down to earth here in the not too distant future. And by that, I mean Sunday night. Give me Denver in this one all day. Your final NFL game for the week, Monday Night Football. This one could very well be a Super Bowl preview. The Eagles, the Chiefs in KC. And KC is favored by 2.5.
Wasn't this last year's Super Bowl matchup?
It was indeed.
Yep.
And it might yet be a preview of this year's, too. So we'll go ahead and start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Sorry, Swifties. I got to go with the Eagles. Give me Philly.
Drew.
Well, ever since Taylor's hooked up to her new, her next album, the Chiefs have won. So I'm pretty sure that they're going to keep up the momentum. So I'm going with Kansas City.
Taylor Jimothy.
Well, it's hard to argue with that logic. I'm going to go with Kansas City also.
You know, they haven't lost when Taylor Swift's been in the stands at the game.
And in 6 months, she's going to put out an album called Football is Stupid.
That's exactly right. Shake it off, shake it off.
That said, and I'm not just saying this because I need Philly to lose for the Lions to at least move into position to take first in the NFC. But yeah, kind of that. Give me the Chiefs. And then the game we really care about, your Detroit Football Lions at home against the 3-7 Chicago Bears. Detroit's favored by 7.5 in this one. Not hard to see why. Chicago is trash. Justin Fields is trash. We start with Jim Alt on the pick.
Lions are going to win this one. Give me Lions 30-14.
Adam.
Your Detroit Lions 49, Chicago Bears 12.
Drew.
Is this the Thanksgiving game?
No, that's Thursday against the Packers. This is Sunday.
That's so horrible. They make them play twice in the same week. They're going to be so tired. Well,
it's the Bears. They're not going to be that tired.
They're the Lions.
I think this Sunday it's going to be 41-17 Lions favor.
I love the optimism all the way around with this group. They have just Chicago getting blown out. And I'm not inclined to say differently. Lions 37, Bears 10. Now, with that being said, let's pick some college, shall we? Some college picks going here. Utah, our first matchup of the week. They're headed to Arizona. Utah comes into this one.
Favored by one.
We'll go ahead and start with Adam on the pick.
I guess I'll make this my big, huge upset special. Give me Utah.
Drew.
Yeah, give me the Mormons. I'm right there with Adam on this one.
Jimothy.
Yeah, honestly, I was thinking Utah also.
Give me the favorite, then. Arizona it is. Up next, Georgia, 10-0, the number one team in the land, headed to Tennessee to take on the 7-3 Vols. The Volunteers are a 10-point dog here. We start with Drew on the pick.
Got to give me the Volunteers. That's just in my nature.
Jim.
Give me Georgia and the points.
Adam.
Ditto, Georgia and the points. There's no way that Tennessee's going to beat them.
They're not even going to come close to them. Georgia and the points. Kansas State, playing in Kansas.
Carry on my wayward son.
Yeah, that too. Kansas ranked the Jayhawks 25th in the nation. Kansas State ranked 21st. Kansas State favored by 10. We start with Jim.
Kansas State.
Adam.
Kansas.
Drew.
I'll be the tiebreaker. I'm going with Jim. Kansas State.
Give me Kansas State, but keep the points. Washington, Oregon State, the 11th ranked team in the nation, the 5th ranked team, Washington, 10-0, headed for the Big Ten next year, ? Oregon State, one of the last two teams in the what is going to be the Pac-2, basically, by the time all is said and done. And Oregon State's favored by one. We start with Adam.
I can't find the damn game on my list here. Just give me Oregon State.
Drew.
Yep, Oregon for me.
Jimothy.
No, give me Washington.
You know what? Give me Oregon State as well to finally hand the Huskies their first loss of the season. And then the two semi-relevant games here locally, Michigan. They're playing Maryland. Jerome Moore going to be coaching again, but it doesn't really matter. Michigan's favored by 19.5.
Wow.
Drew.
Give me Maryland.
Jimothy.
Give me Michigan and the points.
Adam.
Michigan and all of those sweet, succulent points.
It's going to be, quite frankly, be rather disappointing if they don't win by at least that margin, if not more. Yeah, give me Michigan the points as well. And then finally, Michigan State, Indiana. They're both 3-7. And, State's a 3.5-point dog here. What's that?
Since all three of you took the point, if they don't cover, does that mean I win?
Yes.
It doesn't mean you win the whole week, but
you win that. You would
no,
win that
but I win that matchup.
Well, yeah, because you're the only one that didn't take Michigan. So,
oh yeah, no. You if Michigan wins, but they don't cover, you still lose.
Exactly. So.
Well, I don't think that's fair. You all took the point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole points thing is flawed. Like, we'll work on points. That for. We can work on that for next season.
We'll figure it out when we get there. Anyway, Michigan State, Indiana, Adam.
Indiana.
Drew.
Dr. Jones.
It's going to be a Sparty party.
Jim.
I'm going to go with the Hoosiers on this one.
Yeah, give me Indy and the points as well. And there's your picks. We do have a little bit of business we got to take care of before we get out of here, though. In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Mississippi, Rod Robertson, Jared Leto, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Woodchucks. We're sorry.
Sorry, Woodchucks.
There should probably be a few more in there, but you know what? We'll get them next week. We always do. In the meantime, stick around. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, we'll talk to you Monday afternoon at 3. See ya!